Drive Time on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Protect your family's future with life cover from Zurich. Talk to a financial broker to find out more.
Now, a new 3-year campaign on sexual consent begins today in a bid to start a nationwide conversation about sex and relationships and that key issue of consent. The We Consent campaign, run by the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre, is one of the first consent campaigns targeting all members of society to be launched around the world. I'm joined now by Dr. Elaine Burns from the DCU School of Psychology. Dr. Burns, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Corbett.
I must say I'm very interested indeed in this, because covering stories like this, watching cases in court and having conversations like this on radio programmes, I'd imagine this should have been happening a long, long time ago.
I agree, Cormac, but I also think that we've come a long way in advancing the consent conversation. When I started my research on consent almost 10 years ago now, it almost felt like I was talking to myself and talking into a vacuum. And mine is the first PhD in consent, so I've spent a lot of time thinking about and talking about and educating on consent over the last 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. I think one of the issues around consent and the conversation around consent is that for many people, consent is understood in the context of the absence of consent. So in non-consensual situations, in instances of sexual assault or of rape, and it tends to be couched in legalese.
Yeah.
That's difficult for people to think that this is part of their vernacular or part of conversations that they can be having or that they should be having or that they could be having, because that's not something that I'm ever going to engage in or that ever is ever going to happen to me.
And are you saying, Elaine, that that should be the type of conversation that everyone should be having? Is that it? Am I understanding you?
I think where I'm coming from, Cormac, is normalising. And I do believe that the We Consent campaign is very much focused on this as well, is normalising conversations around sex and sexuality and with consent at its core, at the core of those kind of conversations. And you and I will be more than well aware of our sometimes painful history when it comes to the expression of sexuality, the discussion of sexuality, looking at sexuality from the perspective of pleasure and of enjoyment and of something that people engage in and that they should look forward to, and that we should be having conversations around that, sex and sexuality, from a much younger age in this country.
How young, Elaine, do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, in my experience as a facilitator of consent workshops, I started at third level. Cormac, the workshops that we now see rolled out at third level, I was there at the instigation of those. I think there's questionable value in introducing the concept of consent at that stage. If people are having sexual experiences before then and wouldn't be confident or skilled in its communication. So in reality, to paraphrase the Swedish adage, sex education should start when education starts. And it needs to be introduced at preschool level.
Preschool level. I mean, I know you're going to tell me it should be age appropriate and so on, but that will shock an awful lot of people.
Here's the thing. Sexuality education isn't all about sex, Cormac. And consent isn't actually about sex. It is crucial in a sexual encounter, yes. But understanding respect and boundaries are central to understanding consent. And that approach is used very successfully in the Netherlands, for example. I had a Dutch colleague who told me that as a child, she remembers learning through simple, age-appropriate games and role play what consent is and how it's communicated. And starting sexuality education at that stage means that it can be built on through primary and secondary school levels.
Well, I find this fascinating now, Elaine, because, you know, I've studied law, so I've looked at when consent becomes a problem, where there are various interpretations of implied consent in a case, for example, or when alcohol or drugs can cloud someone's judgment one way or another, and it becomes a bone of contention. Is it the aim then of your campaign and this nationwide conversation, which is beginning today, to remove any of that uncertainty at all?
I think the removal of uncertainty, yes, should be a focus. But also, I think where the main focus should be is on communication and building confidence, particularly in young people, in their communication and their ability to communicate consent. One of the things I see in work, my work at second level Cormac, is that young people are very, very easily and well able to trot off a definition of consent. I mean, there'll be a lot of sloganeering, and they'll see them on Insta posts, and they'll see them on TikTok. But when it comes to actually communicating and the confidence to communicate what they want or what they don't want, and also, and probably even more crucially, when people are learning about, you know, what they want, what they don't want, what they like, what they don't like, is interpreting what's being communicated to them. Like understanding what their own boundaries are, mm-hmm. and interpreting and understanding a partner's boundaries and respecting those. Like these are very, very basic kind of concepts, but they're central to understanding consent.
I was just going to say to you, we might finish on this. We'll definitely return to this because it's a conversation that we need to have, I must say, in this country. But the research by the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre showed that about 70% of people in this country think we have a problem with consent in Ireland, with one in five, Elaine, agreeing that sometimes people say no to sex when they want convincing, I think. Is that what the research told us? So there's a job of work to be done here.
There absolutely is. And that, I would have found that in my own PhD research, that kind of adherence to a traditional sexual script that's very heteronormative, in which a man is constantly moving forward in a sexual encounter and a female is the gatekeeper deciding whether he gets his way or not. And that's where that no means no, and no does not mean convince me. Okay. But also I think, Cormac, what's crucial for me as well is getting to a place of equality in the communication of consent. And by that I mean equality of responsibility. Right? So that the communication of consent is mutual and bi-directional. Because anything less than that, it demonises young men, like 50% of the people we need to have engaged in this cultural conversation. And it infantilizes women, that they're not capable of making a decision or knowing what they want for themselves. And I think it's more important than reducing it to a gender conflict.
Well, I think that would be a big cultural shift, I think, in this country. But the conversation has begun today. And Dr. Elaine Burns from the DCU School of Psychology, it's been a pleasure to speak with you.